It's a joy to be here in this very full Sangha. So, as you know, our tradition is to sit in Zazen posture and simply let my words flow over you, through you, bounce off you. Just see how it lands. What I'd like to do tonight is to take a reading from our new Living Vow Zen Sutra book. It's a reading that will be out in the book. You don't have it yet, so I'm going to read it to you. But it's a reading that I think speaks to me about my own experience of practice in a very immediate way. And perhaps it will resonate for you too. The language, it may be a little strange. Don't worry about that. We will delve into it. But this is by the 18th century great Zen master, Tore Enji. He was an heir of Hakuin, and he was one of the originators of Rinzai, one of the two great schools of Zen. And he wrote this piece for his monks called A Whip for a Good Horse. And I'm going to read to you the second part of this reading. He writes, "This body is a skin bag of habitual obstructions produced by the 12 links of dependent origination. The six realms are not only a matter of other lives, even in one day, there is floating and sinking. Those whose minds are upright and actions not evil are humans. When they get angry at opposition, they're demigods. If they cling to things they like, they are hungry ghosts. When their minds are stifled by worry and longing, they are animals. When their longings are deep and their greedy attachments are strong and the flames of their rage never die down, as they pain people and harm beings, they are healthy. Sometimes the mind is still. There's no anxiety, and the heart is clear throughout. Then it's said that even though the body is in the human realm, the mind roams in heaven. Thus, in one day, an ordinary person transmigrates countless times, during which he rarely keeps the human mind, much less roams in heaven. Truly, we should see how much we wander, in what paths, in the course of a day. The six transcendences of bodhisattvas are generosity, morality, tolerance, effort, meditation, and wisdom. Inwardly guard your spirit of the way, observing fundamental ethics and their ramifications. Keep the Buddha's precepts without violating them. Bodhisattvas include the teaching of others in practicing the way for their own benefit as well. Practice generosity with goods and teaching according to your means." A long piece, and a piece somewhat full of Zen speak, as I sometimes call it. These words that can be really difficult to make sense of. So let's talk about it a bit. So he starts out by saying to his monks, you know, there are all these obstructions when you sit down and you try to meditate. Lots of them. And he talks about 12 links of dependent origination. What he's talking about is all of our karma, all of the things that condition us to have these bodies and minds and show up in the world as we are. And then he says, all of these obstructions, all of these ups and downs, these are not only a matter of other lives. These are happening to us day to day. So there is one school of thought in Buddhism, particularly in ancient forms of Buddhism, that we are reborn into different realms depending on how we've behaved in past lives. What Tore Enji is saying is, it's not just about rebirth, it's being reborn moment to moment as we sit here on our cushions. I got my first real taste of this when I was a new Zen practitioner and I started doing more intensive periods of practice. As Mike said, we went to Sesshin together, periods of practicing from 5 in the morning until 9 at night, and then start all over again the next day. I hadn't done this before, and I arrived at my first sesshin all prepared to find peace and equanimity, have the best experience I could possibly have. And it started going pretty well. I was feeling pretty good about my meditation the first morning. And then as the afternoon began, I sat down, and for some reason, my mind started drifting to something that someone said to me that offended me, that embarrassed me in a meeting I was in at work. And I came back to my breath, and I was being my best Zen self. And then my mind kept going back to this event. And I found myself getting more and more and more angry. One of these thunderstorms that Joan Tollefson wrote about in our reading tonight. And I found myself getting all agitated. My heart started beating fast, and I started breathing more heavily. And then, of course, I didn't want to be feeling that at all. I started thinking, this isn't why I signed up for sesshin. This isn't why I cleared my calendar and made all these arrangements to come here to sit here and be furious about some small incident at work. But I got more and more angry. And then I became angry at myself. I'm not supposed to feel this. This isn't the sesshin I signed up for. No, I don't want this. And then I felt ashamed. Perhaps you have your own emotions that you're not supposed to feel. Perhaps you find yourself beset by sadness or anxiety or, like me, anger. And that's the thing you really don't want. Well, anger was what I did not want. And so I was angry at myself. I was ashamed. Then I decided I wasn't cut out for this practice at all. And maybe I should go home early. And then I just sat there in a funk and said, I'm not even going to meditate. I'm just going to sit here. And then it came time for Doksan. And I went into the Doksan room. And with some shame, I told my teacher, I'm feeling all this. And it's terrible. I mean, I want to kill someone. I'm so angry. And he said to me, Bob, go back out, sit on your cushion, and be the Buddha of murderous rage. I said, what? But this is dangerous. Just go back out there and be the Buddha of rage. So I went back out and I sat down and I thought I was going to explode. And I sat there and I watched again and again as angry thoughts and feelings swirled around. And I kept watching, and I kept noticing where it was in my body and doing all my best practices. And then gradually, it was gone. Suddenly, I was sitting there, and it just wasn't there. There was just the breath. There was just the feel of the cushion, the feel of the air on my skin. I hadn't done anything. I couldn't make it go away. It was just gone. Who owns the weather? That's when I got this glimpse of this being what I thought was my anger, my murderous rage. There was a thunderstorm. And so what this deeper being with, facing toward, what we think we can't face toward, what it does is it gives us the sense that we can face toward, the sense that we can stay with, even what we think we can't stand. Even what seems so shameful or so frightening that we can't be with it. Something else began to arise for me, which was what I now understand to be compassion. Because I began to have thoughts like, this is what a terrorist feels like. This is what someone feels like who picks up a weapon. And I began to understand that all of us live with these hearts that have the afflictive emotions, greed and hatred and delusive certainty. They're in all of us. And that the facing toward, rather than being frightening and shameful, became liberating. So what Tore Enji was saying to his young monks is, this is happening to us all day long. In ancient Buddhist language, they talk about the different realms. He talks about the human realm, where our actions are not evil, but then the realm of demigods where everybody is struggling for power and everybody gets angry when they feel opposed. Or if we're filled with desire and longing, we become hungry ghosts. We become those beings with tiny mouths and big bellies who can't ever be satisfied. Perhaps you know that experience of just wanting something so badly. And when the mind is stifled by worry and longing, we're animals. And then when the longings are deep and the flames of the rage just don't seem to die down, and as we harm other beings, we're hell fiends. All this happens sometimes in a day, sometimes in an hour. And this practice is so radical because it says you can face toward it. There is nothing shameful about it. And shame too can be faced. All of it, nothing left out. And that there's something so powerful in leaving nothing out and facing everything. But then, what do we do? So are we just on this roller coaster, being bounced around by the afflictive emotions all day long? And Tore Enji reminds us of where we can take refuge. He says, the six transcendences of bodhisattvas are generosity, morality, tolerance, effort, meditation, and wisdom. And then what he reminds us to do is to guard the spirit of the way, the spirit that says, I want to do this practice because this practice is healing. And to guard that even when we're in the midst of those thunderstorms that we don't want. I mean, imagine what the world would be like if everybody did this practice. Instead of picking up weapons, instead of calling names, instead of causing pain. Imagine. And now you come back to what is so noble about this practice. Now you come back to how, in fact, we are saving all beings when we make that impossible vow to just sit here and be with whatever is arising. And then the last thing that he tells his monks is, keep the Buddha's precepts without violating them. So we have the 16 bodhisattva precepts. Some of you are wearing these raksus, meaning that you have taken on these precepts. You have said, I want to live by these. And what he's telling us is that these are the guideposts we can use even when we're in the midst of turmoil, we're in the midst of thunderstorms. And he says that not only do we practice these virtues, but we teach other people, practice generosity, both with what you have, with your goods, but also with your teaching. Practice generosity and share what you learn, the wisdom you gain in sitting and facing toward your life. So I think this whip for a good horse is a whip for all of us. We're all good horses, trying our best here to face the experience of being alive with these messy heart minds and truly doing the work that is the most important work we can do in this life. Thank you.